Happy Mother's Day to all you sweet, wonderful ladies and mothers. I had one too. And I'm married to one. And one of my daughters is here who is also one. Mothers are wonderful. Paul says in the Galatian letter, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel other than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema. We say again, if any man preach a different gospel other than that what you received, let him be anathema. And am I now striving to please men or God? Or am I striving to be pleasing to men? If I were pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. There is only one gospel. Only one good news. Everything besides this one good news is bad news. Only one gospel can save mankind. Paul says, I marvel. He says, I am marveling. It's in the present tense. He says, I am marveling. And this is the place where Paul usually tells the brethren how pleased he is with them, pleased with their faith, pleased with their growth, pleased with their bearing with persecution. This is a place where he prays for them, but not in this letter. This letter, he goes straight into the problem. He says, I am marveling. This verb's in reference to something disappointing, something that is painful to bear, that you're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So quickly removed. It seems as though rapidly after Paul left, these Judaizing teachers moved in and started perverting the pure gospel of Christ with their teaching. But Paul's greatest marvel is not that there's false teachers, because God told us there would be false teachers. But the fact that they so easily gave up the truth that Paul had preached to a different doctrine. He says, you are moving from him that called you. The word moving there is also in the present tense, and that's important because they're in the process of moving. They haven't already moved. Had they already moved, he would have used the aorist tense, which is a past action. But they're in the process of moving. They haven't completed that move yet. The Hebrew letter speaks of such people. In chapter 3, verse 12, he says, take heed lest there any one of you have an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as called day, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. These people are moving from God. To move from God is deny the faith that Paul preached. He is marveling that they quickly did this, that they are moving, which is transferring oneself to a different course of thinking, totally different thinking from him that called you. That's God. No one lesser than God is who called us. It's not men, it's not anything else. It's God that called us into the grace of Christ. Many passages, all these passages speak of God calling us. The one that we talk of mostly when we talk about the gospel is 2 Thessalonians 2:14, where Paul says, he, speaking of God, he called you according to the gospel which we preach to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a calling into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called us in many things. In this passage, he called us into the grace of Christ. He also called us into peace. He called us in one hope of our calling. He called us not unto uncleanness, but into sanctification. He called us, as I just mentioned, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's very essential, the core of what Paul is preaching, is being destroyed. The core of the gospel. Paul tells the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, he says, I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached, which you received, wherein you believe, which is your salvation. The gospel is your salvation, the good news. And then he says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, the core of it, first of all, that which you received, that Christ died for sinners, according to the scripture, and was buried and was raised on the third day, according to the scripture. Christ died for sinners. There could not be a better good news in the whole universe. Amen. Christ died for sinners. Sinners don't have to die for their sin if you're in Christ, because Christ did it. That's good news. There's no way we can get rid of our sin. But the good news that Paul preaches is that Christ took care of it for us. These people are being moved back to that which is a not good gospel. It is bad gospel. There is no good news in trying to save oneself, because it's an impossibility. Paul talks about this terrible dilemma in Romans 7, 7 clear through the end of the chapter. He sees the law, that it's good, that it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. There's something wrong with people. And he talks about this terrible turmoil. He sees the law. He wants to abide by the law. He wants to live by the law. And as he strives to do that, he continually falls short of the law. And when he falls short and he's a sinner, he still sees the law, that it is perfect, and that's what I want to do. So he tries to do it, but he continually falls short. Until he'll tell you in verse 24 of that chapter, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only salvation from the body of this death is the true good news. God saved us through Jesus Christ. That is good news. There is no other gospel. He says, I'm getting behind. I don't know what that 214 is over there. It's not on mine. Come from, oh, it come, okay, that's passed down from the sentence above it. To a different gospel. The word different here means of a different kind, a total different kind. You go through the Bible, and oftentimes you'll see the word another or a different. But our original language uses two different words. This one is one of a different kind. It's compared in the next verse where he says, and there's not another gospel. That's another the word. That another there means another of the same kind. And he says in verse 6, they're moved to a different, a totally different one. And he says, there's not another one. This different one that they're preaching, Paul will speak of later in this book in chapter 5, and he'll tell you in verse 3. He says, if a man receives circumcision, he's a debtor to do the whole law. James tells us, if you violate one law, you're in violation of all of it. There's no salvation there. Paul goes on in the next verse in Galatians 5 and says, you're separated from Christ. Ye who would be justified by works, you have fallen from grace. Severed from Christ, the doctrine of Judaizing teachers, where they're telling you to get back under the Mosaic law, they say Christ is okay, but he's not sufficient. You have to go back and obey the law. He's trying to put them back under a bondage that no man could bear. There's only one salvation, and it's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter stands before the Sanhedrin, and they say, we're in Acts 4, verse 7. He says, they ask him, in whose name or whose power did you do this? Peter, in verse 8, is filled with the Holy Spirit, so he's given the Holy Spirit answer. He says, if we're being examined for a good deed unto this important man, be it known unto you and all Israel that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's the one that healed this. He goes on to tell them, he is the stone which you, he says in the verse before that, points right at it, says you crucified him. And then he says, he is the stone which you, the builder, set at naught, who has made the cornerstone. In none other, verse 12, in none other is there salvation. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. It's not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It is not another gospel. There's only one good news. There's not another one. Only one good news. He's talking about the Judaizing false teachers who have come down there to pervert the pure gospel that Paul preaches. The pure gospel Paul preaches is justification by faith. Max talked this morning about what took place in the Garden of Eden. From the time man ate the forbidden fruit and fell, there's absolutely nothing man could do about his sin. God comes in and he said, I'll put enmity, speaking to Satan, between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. He'll bruise your heel, but he will bruise your head. God said, I'm going to send one of the seed of woman who will bruise the head of Satan, take away his power. That's done by God. Justification by faith. It's only God that can justify mankind. He does that through Jesus Christ and the price he paid for on the cross. He did it all for us. The Judaizing teachers are saying that that's not sufficient, that you have to go back under the law. This is what the Jerusalem conference was talking about, Acts 15. In verse 1, Paul's in Antioch with Barnabas. He says, there's certain came from Judea, came down teaching the brethren, saying, you must be circumcised after the custom of Moses to be saved. These people were claiming to be Christians, but teaching that Christ's work on the cross is not sufficient. The discussion goes on. Then Peter rises up and tells them how by him, God chose him to teach the Gentiles, and they're not required to do anything but accept the gospel by obedient faith. He says in verse 10, now, why do you make trial of God or put a yoke on the neck of the brethren, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That yoke is unbearable. And that's what the Judaizing teachers were trying to move these Galatian brethren back into. Paul and Barnabas then talk about all the great work God did through them amongst the Gentiles, and they were saved, they were justified by faith in the work that God did in Jesus Christ. There's no other work, there's no other thing in all of history that can take care of sin, nothing else. Then James says, in verse 24, after James gets up, we're still in Acts 15. In verse 24, he'll say, as far as much as you have heard that certain ones went out from us, troubling you with their words and subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment. They all deny the whole meeting of the apostles and the Jerusalem elders. They all deny the teaching of the Judaizing teachers. It is no gospel that is a yoke of bondage. It is a loss of grace without which no man can be saved. There is one gospel, the gospel of salvation by faith in the work of God in Jesus Christ for us. One drop of the blood of Jesus can heal every sin in this universe. And when you think that's not sufficient, that's blasphemy. Amen. Anytime you think you can do something to save your souls, that's blasphemy. It's an impossibility. There's one gospel. We already spoke of it in 1 Corinthians 15. But he'll tell you, Paul will tell you in Romans 3, verse 24. He'll say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, for the showing of his justification in the times past, in the passing over the sins. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness in this present season, that he might be just and the justifier of those that have faith in Christ. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross, God can be just and forgive our sins, because Jesus paid it all. Total payment. Jesus says, if you abide in my words, then are you truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. Oneness. There's only one gospel. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 emphasizes the oneness. There's one body, which is the church. There's one Spirit. There's one hope of your calling when you are called. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. One. Good news is just good news. He says there's some that trouble you. The word means to agitate. It means like boiling water. It means to shake back and forth. They're troubling you, and that they would pervert. Where am I at? Okay. They would pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word pervert there, as I put up there, that's a lexicon definition, is to change to the opposite, total change. We see the word, the same word used in Acts 2:20. Acts 2:20 says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Total change. The word turn there is the same word as pervert in this passage. Same word is used by James, translated turn, when he says, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned, there's our word, into mourning and your joy into heaviness. It's a complete change. But though we are an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel other than that which we preach unto him, let him be anathema. Though we, the apostles, the chosen of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Mark 4, after Jesus prays all night, in verse 13, he chose 12 so that they could be with him, so he could send them out to preach. In Acts 9, 3 and 4, Paul's going to Damascus to persecute Christians, to drag them back to Jerusalem to be persecuted. And on the way, our risen Christ, Lord Jesus, comes down and speaks to Paul. He says, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, who you persecuted. He goes on down to verse 15 and 16. After God calls Ananias to go speak to Paul, he's afraid to go to Paul. And God says in verse 15, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, the Gentiles, and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. These inspired men of the Holy Spirit, if they change anything about the gospel, they'll be anathema. Or angels from heaven. The word angel means a messenger. He is appointed a holy messenger from God. These angels are so glorious and holy and powerful that every time a man met an angel, they fell at his feet as one dead. Daniel, Ezekiel sees an angel, they're sick for a week. John, when you see something that holy, then we'd know how wicked we are. You'll fall at their feet as one dead. It only takes one angel to kill 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army under Sennacherib, the greatest army in the world. One night, one angel, 185,000. These messengers of God, even they, God inspires Paul to say, they'll be anathema. There is no changing. If they should preach any other gospel other than what we preach to you, there's no changing of that. But that's where Satan comes in. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul says, the Spirit says, especially in latter days, there shall be some falling away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. How? Through the hypocrisy of men speaking lies. Satan gets into men. And they're hypocritical men. And they don't even know they're hypocritical. It's easy to deceive ourselves. They're servants of Satan. These men have come there to pollute and pervert the gospel of Christ. Jesus brought the only true, pure gospel. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came to the earth as the Word of God, and He is God. But this Word in verse 14 became flesh and blood and dwelled among men. And in verse 18, He'll tell us, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in His bosom hath declared Him. Jesus came to declare God. And what Jesus' word is a standard for all living, all morality, all ethics, and it is the standard of judgment. Jesus says in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and the words that I have spoken hath one that judge him. The word that I spoke will judge him in the last day. For I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and His commandment is eternal life. That's what Jesus brought. Galatians, the book we're in, chapter 3, verse 15 says, I speak after the manner of men. Though it were a man's covenant, once it is confirmed, no one makes it void or adds to it. Any addition to a covenant which two parties are in agreement would change the whole thing. You can't add, you can't change the gospel that was given. Our God is sovereign. And too many people don't understand what that means. Our God is sovereign. That means we do what He says, with no addition, no subtraction, no changing. When God says it, do it. Nothing else. That's salvation in God. But we don't need to be startled when there's false teaching, for the Bible tells us clearly that it's coming. 1 Timothy 4, which I already mentioned. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan fashioned himself into an angel of light. It's no wonder, therefore, if his ministers reveal themselves as ministers of righteousness, deceiving people. 1 John 4 tells us, my little children, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Let him be anathema, condemned eternally. As we said before, so we say again. If any man receive any gospel other than what you received, let him be anathema. He spoke of the apostles and the angels, and now he says anybody that teaches a different gospel, let him be anathema. Paul, by inspiration of God, it's God speaking through him. God says anybody that teaches a different gospel will be anathema. Serious. He's speaking about the Judaizers who's bringing condemnation to those people. Opposite from what Paul taught, justification by faith. Beautiful passage in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, because of the weakness of man, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sin, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in all of us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. The whole ordinance of the law is fulfilled in us that are in Christ Jesus. I don't have time. For am I now seeking the favor of men, or am I striving to please men or God? If I am still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Who are we seeking? That's the question to all of us. So easy to be deceived by Satan. Listen to the true gospel. Our God prepared abundantly everything to save mankind in His work in Jesus Christ on the cross. There's only one way to receive all that good grace, and that's by faith. obedient faith. Faith where those that are believers can see the truth and they turn away from this world, as he says in Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's what repentance is, a change of mind. And then we confess Jesus as Lord of our lives. Everything Jesus said, he's Lord. All we say is yes. And you take that old dead man and you bury him in the baptism with our Lord Jesus Christ. He enters into his death, enters into his blood, and he's resurrected with him to a total new life if you're outside of Christ. Whether you've never been in Christ or fallen away, make it correct. Don't be amongst those that are anathema. Come to Jesus. We're going to stand and sing, and you might come forward and make your desires known.